Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. They're wonderful words to sing. They're stirring words to sing. In some ways, they are easy words to sing. But actually living them is a whole different story. Because other things get in the way. Other things grab hold of our attention. Other things just pull us off course. And although we love to sit here and to sing of our all for Jesus commitment, if we're being honest, we struggle with it. You've maybe been asked the question before, but if your house was on fire and all your family, your loved ones are out of the house, your pets are out of it, and you have the opportunity to go back in and get one thing, what would you get? Nobody. Nothing. Photographs. Yes. Why photographs? Why? Memories. Yeah. Photographs that you couldn't take again. Great memories. So you might go and get your photographs. Nothing. Your wife. Especially after earlier, Raymond. That's right. Would anybody go and get their house insurance policy? No. Yeah. It's a way, actually, of asking ourselves, well, what's important? When I look at everything that I have, what's really important? What am I going to go back in and grab? Is it the photographs? Is it that little pile of letters with a ribbon tied around it? Would you love to read again? Is it the diary? It really does. Challenges us as to what's important. Of all the things that you have, what's most important to you? Jesus is teaching in the temple courts. And he's asked a very similar question. He's asked, Jesus, of all the commandments, of all this range of commandments that we have, which one's the most important? If you had to pick just one of them, Jesus, which one would you pick? Which is the most important? Apparently the Jewish rabbis had counted up to, I think, 613 different laws. And they were trying madly to keep all those 613. Can you imagine how fried your head would be trying to keep 613 different laws? And this teacher of the law simply says, Jesus, there's a great list of them. There's a great book of laws and rules. Which is the most important commandment? And Jesus very quickly comes back. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Jesus doesn't have any, now let me think, it could be this, it could be that. Jesus just goes straight for this one. It's a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy, one of the books at the beginning of Scripture. It's a quotation from there. It's called in Jewish circles, it's called the Shema, because the word hear translates as Shema. A pious, a religious Jew would have said, recited this confession of faith, if you like, would have recited this morning and evening. And even today, services in Jewish synagogues begin with this Shema. It is central. And so Jesus goes right back to this. This is what it's all about. And it's interesting, Jesus, if you read Mark chapter 12, verse 31, which Tom read for us a little while ago, Jesus links this Shema, this great statement of faith, with another little verse from the book of Leviticus, which simply says, love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus, what's the most important commandment there is? Out of this huge long list, which one is the most important? Love the Lord your God with everything you have. Heart, soul, mind, and strength, everything. love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. But what about all the other laws? What about all the other regulations? What about all the other rules? Does that mean they're not important? Does that mean as long as we keep this one, we can forget the other 612? Well, actually, when you sit down and think about it, if they or we kept this law, we would automatically keep the rest. If we loved God with all of our being, we wouldn't go off and worship other gods. If we loved God with all of our being, we wouldn't sin against him. If we loved God with all our being, we would automatically love our neighbors. We wouldn't need to be told to obey the rest of the law, because if we obeyed this one, everything else would fall into place. Following Jesus. That's what we've been talking about over these past months. Different aspects of what it means to follow Jesus. Following Jesus is about total commitment. That's what Jesus points to in this verse. Heart and soul, mind and strength, everything committed to Jesus is not just about some intellectual thing that goes on in our heads where we could answer the right exam questions if we're asked them. Much more than that. Neither is it some emotional thing that comes and goes. It's much, much more than that. It's not just something to which we give whatever is left over in our lives and we've done what we want. Following Jesus is about total commitment, heart and soul, mind and strength. It's not half-hearted. It doesn't depend who we're with or where we are. It's not half-hearted. Neither is it part-time. For an hour on a Sunday morning, I'll follow Jesus, and then the rest of my week, well, it's my own, I'll do my own thing. Total commitment to Jesus is neither half-hearted nor part-time. It's not whenever it is convenient, whenever it's easy to stand up for Jesus. It's easy to stand here and sing Jesus, all for Jesus. But maybe this time tomorrow morning might be more difficult for you because of where you work, where you are. It's not just a commitment to Jesus when it's convenient. It's not just about giving him what's left over that we can spare. It's about total commitment. Jesus, what's the most important commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And your neighbor as yourself. In verse 33 of that chapter 12, we simply read that the teacher of the law, you can almost see a little light bulb going on above his head, a little penny dropping, when he realizes that loving God and loving his neighbor is much more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. They're standing in the temple court. All these sacrifices are going on in this temple complex around him, and this teacher of the law suddenly realizes, you know what? Loving God is more important than all these offerings and sacrifices. Because it's easy to go through the motions. And Jesus looks at him and says, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from the kingdom of God. Somebody has said, the greatest adventure you will ever take is only 18 inches long, from your head to your heart. This teacher of the law would have known the Shema, good Jew, would have said it morning and night, but it never really got to his heart. And now when Jesus speaks to him, he says, you know what? All this jumping through hoops, all these rituals, all this just going through the motions, it's nothing compared with loving God and loving my neighbor. And he starts to understand this about relationships. Relationships, love for God and neighbor. This is the God who knows you, who knows us and loves us. And more importantly, he wants us to know and to love him, which is amazing. This God who created this world, this God who in his grace gave his only son for us, wants us to know and to love him in the way that he knows and loves us. If Jesus was to look at you this morning, look at me, where would he place you with regard to the kingdom? Would he say, you're not far from the kingdom of God? Would he look at you and know that you're in the kingdom because of your faith in Jesus? Jesus and his disciples are in this temple complex there. They're watching everything that's going on, and they're close to where the great trumpets were for putting in your offering in the treasury. And they watch. They watch as people put their offerings in. And there are some who come past, and they're obviously important. They're obviously wealthy. And they put in their very generous offerings. But in the midst of all that, Jesus says there's a poor widow, almost creeps by, and almost unnoticed drops in two small coins. And Jesus says, they gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. There was no questioning that the wealthy people had made a contribution, perhaps even a very significant contribution, but they gave out of their wealth. It wasn't sacrificial. It wasn't total commitment. It was just that little bit that I have extra. That disposable income that financial advisors talk about and the rest of us wonder where it is. These wealthy people had it. So it wasn't really a big commitment, a big sacrifice. But this widow had made a sacrificial commitment to God. And there is a world of difference between making a contribution and making a commitment. She knew what it was to love God with everything. With everything. And it's a challenge to us as we seek to follow Jesus. And the challenge is this: are you making a contribution to the kingdom, or are you committed to the kingdom? Are you making a contribution to Jesus, or are you committed to following Jesus? And there is a world of difference. It is, as I've said, it's easy to come here on a Sunday morning and make that contribution. And it's great to gather here. I'm not knocking that. It is important that we gather together. Scripture tells us not to forget to do it, not to neglect it. But if that's all it is, then it's we're making a contribution, not a commitment. Because a commitment is about the next hour and the hour after that, and tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, and so on, right the way through the week. A commitment rather than a contribution. And it's not just about money. Important though that is, what we do with our money is an intensely spiritual thing. God has given it to us. Sometimes we think, oh, we shouldn't talk about money in Christian circles. God has given us that money to use in a way which honors him. So what we do with our money is intensely spiritual. But it's not just about our money, it's about our time. We made a commitment to Jesus with our time, or is it just, here's the odd little slot during my day. Here's some time that you can have. Our skills, our gifts, our energy. Is it just what's left over after we've done everything else that we want to, or have we committed it to Jesus? This is the God who is totally committed to you. This is the God who gave his one and only Son, not partially. Jesus didn't die a bit. He gave his one and only Son so that you might not perish, but rather have eternal life. That's the extent of God's commitment to you. This is the God who has poured out his Holy Spirit upon you so that you may be changed into the likeness of Jesus day by day, moment by moment. He didn't pour out a little bit of his Holy Spirit upon you. He has poured out his Holy Spirit upon you that you may be transformed. Such is God's commitment to you. This is the God who wants you to spend eternity completely with him. Not just a few short years, but eternity. This is God's commitment to you. May God give us the grace to love him who has first loved us. I want to read for you a little quotation which has challenged me down through the years. It was written by a young pastor in Zimbabwe in his journal. And it's simply what it means, what it really means to become a disciple of Jesus, what it really means to follow Jesus. And here's what this young man wrote. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of his. I'm a follower of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished. I'm done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean in his presence, walk by patience. I'm uplifted by prayer and labor with power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way rough. My companions are few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the enemy, pander in the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Jesus. I am a disciple of his. I must go till he comes. Give till I drop, preach till all know, work till he stops me, and when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. Easy words to write, difficult words to live. As I say, these were written by a young pastor in Zimbabwe, and they were found in his journal after he was martyred for Christ in July 1994. Easy words to live. Really? That's our challenge. Following Jesus in everything. Committed to the one who is totally committed to you. Let's pray together. Father, you know our hearts. You know our minds. You know the different things that make calls upon us. So help us by your Spirit, we pray, to be committed to you. And as we seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, Lord, may all these other things fall into place. But help us to fix our gaze upon Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our children head out to Sunday school, and as we remain here, we're going to stand together and sing the hymn, Forth in Thy Name, O Lord.